greetings, weary traveler. We return to you now, at the turn of the tide, for post-show 126. This week we cover...
I can't do the whole thing in character. That intro would take an hour and a half. Hey everyone, we're back, episode 126, to business, jam-packed episode, the Demon Slayer season 4 finale, and of course the resulting announcement that follows it, House of the Dragon. We're into season 2, episodes 3 and 4, Kaiju number 8 finale, Mushoku Tensei season 2 finale, the Elusive Samurai pilot. That's right, we're on that new shit. The Boys, episode 5 and 6 of season 2, The Bear, pilot of season 3, Oshinoko, episode 1 of season 2, and of course, Delicious in Dungeon, the latest thing Grant is trying to get me to watch. There's some news and whatnot sprinkled throughout. Enjoy. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
Yoshiki.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good, eh? That wasn't bad, good. As far as impressions go.
I'll take it.
Okay, I think we have to start with Demon Slayer.
We have to, yeah.
Finale. There's a lot of fun stuff going on with House of the Dragon right now. Mm-hmm. And... The Boys.
I got a pretty big list in front of me, actually, to talk about tonight.
Yeah, and...
A couple finales. A couple premieres.
Yeah. I've got some stuff for you, too. Okay. So, let's hit it with the big boy. So, the finale happened. Demon Slayer Season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty safe to say, because they announced it literally at the same time as the finale, as they tend to do, which I actually appreciate.
Yeah, I like to not have to think about it. It's just we know. Yeah.
But the rumors were true. So Demon Slayer's final television episode has concluded.
Yeah.
Because the show is going to wrap up on the big screen with a movie trilogy. Not a single movie, but a movie trilogy. I filmed a little TikTok, as they say, the Zoomers, and a Instagram reel that we'll put up on the Part-Time Otaku podcast socials, where people can find us, on my preliminary thoughts on this. But I think there are, like, as some would say, there are puts and takes, or pros and cons.
Word.
But, okay, let's briefly touch on the announcement, and then we can get into the nitty-gritty of the finale. What are your thoughts on, you know, it wrapping up in theaters?
Wrapping up in theaters, like, I think... I don't know, because there's been two types of anime movie the past couple of years. We've had, like, the prequel kind of set up one-offs that made sense with, like, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, and then Mugen Train was, like, a really good kind of, you know, literally, like, a bridge point from one season to another.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have, which, I love those, they're kind of...
Mugen Train really worked in retrospect.
100%. And Zero 2, like, looking back after the Hidden Inventory stuff and, like, kind of being able to combine them, like, it all like, worked really well. But then you have other stuff where, you know, for example, I didn't see it in theaters, but, like, you know, there was the Kaguya-sama movie where it was just kind of more or less like a big episode, and it felt like an episode. It didn't necessarily, like, there was grand moments in it, but it didn't feel like, you know, there had to be, like, this push for, like, a movie premiere for it. And then also more recently, the Haikyuu movie. Whereas, like, the tension was kind of all taken out of it because you kind of want to build that over a season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this trilogy is going to have that problem. I think they are going to be spectacle. I think there's going to be suspense leading from one to another. At least, like, we're not being, like, drip-fed of, like, oh, it's going to be another one. Oh, we're going to make a third. Like, it's not like an Attack on Titan situation. They've said it's going to be three.
That is true. They you did, know, like, yeah. They have been clear. At the very least, it's clear.
You know, it's weirdly, you can't ask for much more. So I kind of like it. I think it'll be fun. It'll be eventized. It's going to make a ton of money. It was crazy to hear, like, you know, on the Big Picture podcast, like, they had to mention Demon Slayer a couple points, and like, you know, just talking about, because, you know, there was that one solo pod I did talking about, like, the CinemaCon in Vegas, and Crunchyroll had a huge presence there, and, you know, everyone had to, like, sit and, like, listen about Haikyuu and Demon Slayer and the new Spy Family Code, or even, like, Code White. That's a good example of, like, a show that is serialized, where they can take and make a movie of, like, an original, because that's not in the manga. That was, like, an original story made for big picture, and it worked better that way. So, I don't know. I'm not worried. I think it's going to be fun. I think just the one thing that could kind of hang everybody up is time in between. If they do a year pop, I think we're good, but
yeah, I think
it's hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree with everything you're saying. You know, one note I'll add is, like, after seeing, you know, these last, you know, some of these high moments in seasons, 2 and 4 and to an extent 3, and then obviously the movie they already did, it's clear that Ufotable, like, the production is capable of bringing it. So I think, you know, even just, like, the scale of what they've shown of the Infinity Castle in the show, mm-hmm. and what's left to tell in the story, it's very clearly going to be pretty action-oriented, and they definitely excel in that environment. So I think, like, it's well-suited for the theaters. It's surprising to me that it's 3 entire movies. I'm curious about runtimes, but also...
I would say if they are... The fact that they've said there's 3, I bet you these are... like, clean in and out, 1.5 hours each would be my guess. Maybe 2 for the last one, but...
Yeah, I'm curious. But the big thing that I think everyone will note is the time in between, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're going to have a hold up on... Well, maybe. We'll see. But if precedent is anything, or if we follow what that happened last time, you know, there's a delay on the international release.
So that was a big thing, and that was brought up in that CinemaCon presentation by Crunchyroll, is, like, they, you know, they didn't say, like, day and date, but they are aware that there is such a hunger for it here in America, where, like, the premiere, like, they hinted that, like, we have big premieres coming. And I think maybe without saying it at the time, they probably were talking about Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
Saying, like, because they were hinting at, like, stuff coming down the pipe.
Interesting.
But the other thing, too, and I can't remember if we talked about this last podcast or if it happened in between, there was information on a Blu-ray release for, I think, Swordsmith Village arc.
Okay.
I think I had sent it to you, where production for season 4 was taking place as season 2 was premiering.
Right.
So they are clearly, like, very structured, ahead of schedule, you know, like, they're, again, and it had, like, it's all hearsay, but, like, you know, there's so much, you know, drama with, you know, kind of workload and kind of, you know, employee satisfaction. Like, Ufotable apparently has, like, a good record, and they seem to, like, stay out of the headlines. They do a lot of these, you know, bigger scale projects. So I think hearing, like, a little detail like that, if they're working that far ahead on season 4, which was, you know, I guess 2.5 years prior, you know, I think they probably got some work already done ahead of time for, and, like, probably half the stuff is set up in for these movies.
Yeah, you would imagine
the season, right?
So, a lot of the assets and things like that, storyboarding is already done. Though I will say, like, you know, as far, again, on timing, like, even if we get, you know, like, let's play this out very briefly. Like, even if we get a year in between a pop, it's 2025, 26, 27, if we do a year each. If it takes, like, 18 months in between, we're talking nearly 5 years until Demon Slayer wraps up. I'm very curious on cadence, but... I've been like rewatching the episode and rewatching people react to the episode, and, like, the scale of that, of the explosion and that ending, we should get into the finale now.
That should, okay, sorry.
No, but that is movie tier quality, and it's like, okay, I see where you're going with, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, I think they're just trying to showcase at the end of that finale, like, this is going to be, you know, air quotes, big. This isn't like a fight in a forest.
I think you're stuck in a bubble for, like,
20 episodes. You know, like,
I think it was a huge missed opportunity and a mismarketing of, you know, I think for years now, they should stop putting Demon Slayer episode one, the premiere in theater. They should be putting the finales in. Like, this would have been, like, dynamite. on the big screen. You know, like, the soundtrack was banging, even at home, like, just, you know, over the TV speakers and all, like, it was incredible, like, the use of silence and the, you know, the kind of the score kind of weaving in and out, and then, you know, when, it, you know, the explosion and the action, like, it's just, it's so, they have such an eye and a flavor for, like, you know, like, just the, like, package, you know, that's what I love Demon Slayer for, is just, you know, you can argue about the story and this and that, and, like, kind of, you know, like, this type of character and that type of character, and it's all archetypes or whatever, but, like, it is a showpiece, and, like, they show up almost every time, even, like, the season we were kind of, like, iffish on, like, it had these huge bombastic moments, you know, I don't know, spectacle, and they crush it.
Yeah, that shot of the explosion, you know, the whole explosion, the way they did it was unbelievable, but there's a couple of shots in particular. You mentioned one about, like, the way the music comes up and the explosion goes. I'm thinking of when the Wind Hashira sees it.
Yeah.
And the dust cloud hits him, and then the music as all the Hashira kind of look in terror at the explosion. Mm. Like, oh my God, that was unbelievable. Did you, it seems like everybody, myself included, you know, upon first watch, was confused and thought that Muzan initially caused the detonation or caused the explosion, only to realize later as his fucking, you know, flailing corpse is like thrown away that it was like, oh no, that was our boy, that was the master, that was part of the plan.
Yeah, no, I never thought it was Muzan. I don't think that's his style. He's not so for that to go off, I had assumed they had laid a trap for him.
They had to have a move, right? It wasn't just like, let's just wait here and die.
Yeah. Again, caught me by surprise. It's so funny too. I had seen a spoiler that day without even realizing it was a spoiler. I was like, oh, that's like a funny joke. Like, kept making a play on the master there. Oh, like it was like something, a line read of something like that. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
Mm.
Wonder what the context is for that. I didn't think anything of
it. That's funny.
And then the explosion happened. I was like, oh, that makes sense. That is funny. But yeah, I don't know. I will say, I do have one legitimate, this might be a little bit of a hot take, because I know he has become quite the fan favorite the past like week or so.
Ubayashi?
No. The Stone Hashira.
Oh, Gyome, yeah.
There's a lot of love right now, again, for the scene of, like, him kind of thrown down with Muzan until everyone shows up. I gotta say, we've been there, done that. They, like, that whole, like, it was cool to see him, like, popping off, but it was like they literally repeated the Tengen and Gyoza fight.
Oh, I don't actually disagree. I think,
I was kind of let down. I was like, really? That's, like, the fighting we're gonna get is, like, kind of this rehash. And then, you know, see it in a year, maybe two.
I was
a little bummed with that.
No, I don't disagree. I thought if you wanted to, like, really nitpick it, there are, like, a couple of things that are very peculiar about the story.
Sure. Gyotaro, not Gyoza. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, Gyoza. You know, when Tengen was fighting the dumpling. I didn't even hear that. That's funny. But, I don't disagree. The art style, especially with, like, the exploded background in the back.
The red, like
the red,
like the blade scratching
color. Yeah, like it was like very similar. I saw somebody post it. They're like, look at it in slow-mo. Look how good it looks. And I was like, yeah, like they almost maybe should have slowed it down a little bit because it looks a little blurry and you could kind of be like, you know what? Anyway, so I'm very curious to see how he does. I'm very curious because Demon Slayer does this stuff all the time. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes it works. I mean, it's also like an anime thing.
Sure.
But they really glaze over the fact that Lady Tamayo's like, ah, I put the cure in you. Anyway, see ya. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, Leanna had to remind me. She's like, she made a reference, like, you know who she's talking about, right? I'm like, what do you mean, who's she talking about? She's like, oh, you didn't see that line? I was like, what line? And I had to go back and watch it. And she made a reference to because he made, like, in retrospect, it's like, oh, it was obvious, because he was talking about whose blood art is this. And she makes a reference to when Tanjiro runs into Muzan.
Yeah, season one. Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to know that? And he goes, well, yeah, like, he had to have, like, read it and, like, you know, and so she knows. And I'm like, they could have done maybe taken a little more time with that, like an extra second or two of dialogue. But
and also, how did she get the cure? I mean, I'm assuming it's, like, here's a call, and I've seen no spoilers whatsoever, but this is just how Demon Slayer does stuff sometimes.
Mm.
It's like, okay, so she says, Muzan, you absorbed my fist. It had the cure in it. And then I'm betting, you know, in movie 1, 2, or 3, towards the end, as Muzan's losing, presumably, there will be a flashback in which we see Tamayo working with the insect lady, and they like talk about finding the cure and like how to get it in Muzan. And like, yes, fine, like that's not like, that's not like retconning or anything like that. It's just weird because they set it up way early, and then they always refuse to tell you about it until later. You know what I mean? Mm.
It's funny because, you know, like, I know a big highlight of the episode, and it is a highlight for me, but just kind of the almost like the moments of like just like drawn out staring at one another between Muzan and Ubuyashiki. Like, it's, it was just like, guys, like, let's cut out some of the dead air, maybe fit in like one or two other things, or even expand upon others. Like, they have this, you know, this highly touted, like, 70-minute episode. Like, get real. Like, I'm so sick of that, dude.
Yeah, like it's irritating.
It, like, just say it's going to be 40 minutes, though, commercials. Or just say it's going to be, you know, like, I don't know.
The pacing was, in that first half, like, I get it. I understand that this is a big meeting that you've been building to. But, yeah, they really squeezed that for all it was worth. And, like, I agree. They
the rehash of, like, the Michael Jackson video at the top of the episode. Yeah, and I was like, did no one stick around for episode 7 to see, like, the ending? Or, like, to see the hidden ending.
It also inflates runtime needlessly.
Yeah,
because you're just showing the shit from last episode. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see it in theaters. We will review it here. It'll give us an excuse to see a movie together. Maybe we could do an in person review of each one or something. I don't know. 100%. Maybe we could record it on video. It's far enough away. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. Anyway, so that's exciting. Anything else we missed? Obviously, lots of really cool like demon slaying moment, like all the Hashira, everybody going in with an attack to get lured in and then dropped into the castle was cool.
Oh yeah, oh, the castle shot too. I'm going into
unbelievable. The everything they do
plenty online is so good.
Yeah, I know.
Just that audio cue, the
Zenitsu looks serious, is awake for the first time and serious.
Yeah,
that looked cool.
Did have a spoiler on that. I was pretty bummed about that one.
About the fact that he opens his eyes, or more than that?
No, just kind of like, why he's serious.
Oh, that blows.
Yeah.
I have theories, but I don't want to go over them now. Maybe we'll do some promo as the movies get closer. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to get into House of the Dragon?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. God, where do we even start? So where are we? We're on season 2, episodes, I believe, 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to talk about 3 as well.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I can probably summarize some of the main plot threads.
Sure.
Sir Criston Cole has marched into the Riverlands and has had many a successful battle.
Mm-hmm.
Daemon is having fever dreams at Harrenhal.
Wild stuff.
Rhaenyra snuck into King's Landing and had a conversation with Alicent, where they kind of realized that there was a misunderstanding, but Alicent is kind of the opinion that it's too far gone.
Mm.
Aemon and his brother Aegon, the king, have some misunderstandings, and then there are some dramatic twists in their relationship in episode 4. Aegon himself feels and appears to be rather young and useless, and is made to feel pretty shitty about it, and so he makes some pretty crazy decisions towards the end of episode 4. There's dragon fights. Am I missing any, like, major character stuff? I don't think right?
Not really.
Daemon, Aemond, Rhaenyra, Alicent.
Alicent continues to be one of the most poorly... I can't actually... You know what? Let's just jump in on this. I cannot believe... Again, I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watched season 1 and quite enjoyed it. I thought everyone was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe how dirty they're doing her character this season. She, like, I don't know if they're trying to play up, like, it's, she's just over, like, out of her mind, stressed out, and is making all these mistakes, uh-huh. and, like, not it feels very, like, you know, like, childish of her, like, when she's not, like, she has shown that she can be a bit of a fierce leader, like, she has a problem where she's being, like, tucked away,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the men are kind of doing their wanting, but, like, the season just feels like she's kind of, almost like set dressing. You know,
right.
Like it feels a little unfortunate to me because I thought she was so good in the first season. And now it's just like, you know, She's getting one up by Rhaenyra. She's getting, like, you know, just throwing... Like, the only, like, real dialogue she's getting is kind of, like, throwing down Aegon. And even then, it just seems petty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. It's just a... I think it's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I would agree that she's probably not being fully used to her capacity. I'm hoping that that's because, like, there's more exciting stuff to come her later down the road. I don't know what the deal is, but I agree that yeah, she's taking a bit of a back seat. And I kind of felt that way about Daemon's arc until episode 4, this most recent one. Yo, the, like, fever dream stuff they're doing with him.
I love it.
I absolutely love it. Like, what are those trees called that, like,
brain? The weirwoods.
The weirwood tree stuff. The fever dream stuff. Him chopping off child. They brought back the younger actor for Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Him cutting her head off in that dream, and then the head talks was, like, awesome.
Her sewing the head back up in episode 3. I thought that was wild.
Yeah, that gave me the heebie-jeebies. Everything that's happening to him at Harrenhal, I love. I think I remember George R. R. Martin saying Daemon Targaryen was his favorite character he had created within the franchise.
Really?
Because he was the perfect, I think George is on record saying this several times, that he's a perfectly morally gray character.
Hmm.
He's rather complex. Matt Smith is doing it's his name, right?
Yeah.
Is doing a really, really good job.
My boy.
The internet in the last couple of weeks has developed an obsession with hating Kristen Cole.
I love it.
So much so that the actor had to turn off his Instagram comments.
Crazy.
It's like Joffrey all over again, that poor bastard. He quit acting after Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Such a more vile character in, like, a performance, though. Like, it was...
Hey, he's got... Kristen Cole has time. He could get there.
Yeah, he could get there.
I don't know if he survives long enough.
I get that feeling, too. I think we say bye to him by the end of the season.
They might be setting him up for a really satisfying death. Who knows? What did you think of the Aemon kind of betrayal? I don't know if I want to say kind of. It seemed pretty blatant.
100%, yeah. Pretty blatant betrayal. Well, I think...
shouldn't have made fun of me, dude.
Shouldn't have made fun of me. Yeah, I don't know. And, like, also so recently, too. Like... I think it was pretty obvious, like, Aegon was drunk.
Oh, yeah.
To a certain extent. Like, again, I'm not sure how long that flight took. He sobered up. Maybe, I'm sure he may be sober up in the sky when you're flying on a dragon, but...
Yeah. But, if anything, you know, ego wounded, all that bullshit. Not really in full control of his faculties, probably, right?
You know, so, I thought, like, the fact that he was, like, opening up, you know, the dragon fire on was one thing, but, like, right at the end of the episode, like, Kristen... comes upon him like clearly, like, going to, like, put him out of his misery.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's, I think that's the bigger, you know, kind of take on the situation, right? Like, he was, you know, at least he was going to finish what he started or whatever, and now he can't. But
so they don't make it clear that he's 100% dead. Aegon, I mean. And also, I think this is obvious, but I'm just fact checking with you, is he Aemon next in line for the throne? If Aegon dies?
Technically, there's another son. Because they referenced there was another son in Old Town.
Oh, because they sent one away at one point?
Yes. Or something? And, like, so he would be... Because Jaehaerys is dead. So now there's this other one with the dragon in Old Town.
Oh, Jesus.
So I think technically he would beat out Aemond.
But maybe if he's not around, Aemond just sees his power? I don't know.
Well, I think that was, like, a big note. I remember, you know, just a couple of shows that I was listening to saying how there was a lot of fans, like, they could not believe that, like, the other brother was not mentioned in season one.
Okay.
And when his name was dropped this season, or, like, early, I think in episode one, or episode one, whatever, the episode that Otto gets kicked out, so that'd be two.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he makes a reference to him in Old Town, and, like, the word out on the street is, like, oh, shit. Like, if they're bringing out his name up, there's a reason for that. So, right. Like, okay. So
you think Otto comes back?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another thing.
In some form, yeah.
So, you know, the confusing end that was Game of Thrones, one of the many things that happened that was, you know, somewhat controversial at the time is Arya kills the Night King, right? Mm. And one thing Game of Thrones did not do was... I mean, one thing they did do is, at that time, they made it clear that Valyrian steel could kill the Nightwalker people.
Sure.
Were they called Nightwalkers? Am I fucking crazy? Zombies?
In the show, they're called White Walkers.
White Walkers, Jesus. Yeah. That's what I meant.
You would say that, didn't you?
I said Nightwalkers.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, but they make it clear Valyrian steel can kill them.
Yes.
And Arya uses a dagger that's introduced in season one of Game of Thrones to stab and kill the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, you know, as D&D were like making their apology tour, they were like, oh, you know, that blade has quite a bit of significance. And I don't know if you've picked it up, but it's what Aegon inherited from his father. And it's what Aemon picked up off of Aegon.
They've been flashing this thing around since season one.
Like, yeah, they're like showing it in like all of necklace. They're showing all the previously ons. You know, they're like, oh, look at this blade. I think it's kind of, you know, what it reminds me of a bit. It's a bit Disney-ish, Star Wars-ish, in that like you see a movie
that's interesting.
Like somehow Palpatine returned, right?
Sure.
And then cut to 3 years later, they're like, look, a series of comics that explains how he returned. See, it's not bad storytelling. It reminds me of that.
I was watching a video today. It was just like, you know, like the top 10 moments in the most recent episode or whatever. And the joke they had made about the knife with nine lives. I was like, well, that's pretty funny. I guess that thing just keeps shit popping up at pretty key moments all throughout the, kind of like the bigger series, canon. But, yeah. It's Valyrian steel, right? It doesn't, like, age, doesn't rust, so, like, it makes sense to be handed down over 100-plus years. And
I guess the only other thing, like, we didn't really talk about, which is, to be fair, like, what has taken over the internet quite a little bit, is people were, like, I always find this quite interesting, really saddened by the dragon deaths.
That was a brutal fight, though. Like, they did a really good... Because that's the thing, they've really been teeing up just like how like awful the dragon on dragon warfare is. Like, it's not pretty and it's ugly, and it's like, it was like watching two, you know, and this is gonna sound grim, but it was like watching two dogs fight.
Yeah,
like no one feels good watching that.
Yeah.
And I think to their credit of making the show, like, it's sitting there, like when Rhaegal died in Game of Thrones and he went down, everyone's just like oh no, like
you don't think it's gonna hurt, and then it does,
and then it does, and just
over like, a CGI creature, and everyone's fucking incredible. Really upset. I was bummed. Sam, I remember Rhaenys was, because Sam was traveling, and so I watched it without her the first time, and then I rewatched it, and she saw it for the first time last night, and as Rhaenys was getting on, or was saying, like, hey, we're heading out, Sam's like, wait, did the dragon die this episode? And I was like, oh, God. You can sniff it out now. This is going to hurt.
It's really funny, because there's, like, the two subreddits. There's the, you know, hot D, blacks and greens. And
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, so like just where they only post about their side. It's a fun little kind of way at the end of every episode to see everyone's takes on their side.
That's funny.
And there was like a post of to put a motion to rename the subreddit as Long Live Aegon and Sunfire. Because like they're like, everyone's now on like, apparently a lot of people in the subreddit are like, yeah, the only member of like Team Green that we like, you know, kind of rush for now is like Aegon and his dragon there. Everyone else is a bunch of bitches.
A great little improv moment by Kristen Cole when Aegon showed up. He's like, look, your king's here. Let's go fucking get him. That was a good little speech.
It was a good little speech. And you know what? That's the thing. It's like, I think it's like to the credit of an actor where like they are playing a character like fuck, I want to punch this guy in the face.
Yeah.
But then, like, he has these moments. And, like, the confliction, like, there's a beautiful shot in episode 3, right before he goes on his conquest. And it's, like, he's late for a small council meeting.
Yeah.
It's small council. Anyways, and he's, like, looking down. And then it's, like, then, like, post that scene, it cuts to, like, them burying the Eric and Arik.
Yeah.
And I was, like, oh, the two scenes, the way they start. It was, like, he was, like, looking into the grave because he caused their death. And I was, like, oh, my God. Like, just, there's some pretty snappy shots in this past couple episodes.
In episode 4, they gave him another beautiful shot. It's when he decapitates, he beheads one of the lords. Yeah. And then it's a oneer. He chops his head off, and then he walks, and a guy gives him a cloth to wipe his sword. And as he walks down the battlements, all the people bend the knee.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, that was so fucking cold.
Like, yeah, very cool. I gotta say, he looks so awkward chopping that dude's head off. Like, it bugged me. I've seen clips of it, and it's like, yeah, I get it. It's the armor.
The
it's
armor.
Not real. Yeah. You know, maybe real or not, I don't know. It looked super stiff to me. I was like,
I think it's the armor would be my guess. They got him in doing that in the Kingsguard armor, and then you realize, like, that stuff is so bulky compared to, if you look at the people around him, right? He's carrying a lot of weight in that shit.
My reasoning was, if he's having a hard time at that angle, cutting that dude's head off, how is he fighting in battle?
Yeah, smoothly? I think practically.
So like it's like
you should probably just maybe ditch the armor, but I get it. It's like
for the scene, you know.
Yeah, for the scene,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah, yeah. But no, a good episode. Dude, I fucking love. Like, I've started reading the second book of Game of Thrones today.
Oh, what is that? A Feast for Crows?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it's I had to go do like a. Because, you know, there's just, like, so much, like, I did, like, a quick read-through of, like, stuff that happened in the first book. Like, stuff that, like, wouldn't have been in the show.
Yeah.
And just, like, a refresh, because it was, like I said, I finished the first season of House of the Dragon, then the second it ended, I picked up the first book, Game of Thrones, and started reading. But, so it's been a while. But, I just love this world. Like, there's complaints and there's this and that, but...
The pacing is definitely quite different compared to Game of Thrones. And maybe last thing on this is that because I say it almost every episode, you know, it's one thing that's also very clear is they learn so much about dragon CG on Game of Thrones. And it like is really paying off in this show just because of how much more dragons are involved in the show. And some of these shots, dude, like have you noticed some of the POV rider shots on the dragon where the dragon's looking back at you or you see the dragon's long neck? They're very cool. And obviously, actually, they used that kind of a shot when Vhagar killed Rhaenys' dragon. And that was the most upsetting one to me.
Brutal. I also really loved how they played into the whole fact that, like, they're fighting in the sky, but everyone's just, like, suffering on the ground below them.
Yeah.
And, but to your point of, like, the shots of the dragon, there was one in episode 3 when Bela and, is it Moondancer?
Yeah.
That was a great shot too. She chases him into the woods. I was like, yeah, get his ass. Dude. I was like, it's way too early for him to die, but like, get
when, him. When Daemon lands at Harrenhal in the rain on his, like, just chef's kiss. Yeah. So good. Yeah. The CG
like an absolute devil in the dark. That's the thing too, like, you know, some scenes always look better at dark just because they can hide so much shit.
Yeah.
That whole, like, the Harrenhal landing was like, oh yeah. And like, I remember Vhagar in the end of season 1. When they were leaving Storm's End, and like you could kind of see, like they land, and Vhagar's there.
Oh, it's just my like, God. One of the best shots of the whole franchise.
Oh, and then
it shows his size or her size actually.
Vhagar like coming out of the forest hideaway,
unbelievable.
And then slumping back down of like
the exhale
conserve energy. I was like, wow, these are just big dogs.
Yeah,
like
they're making crazy headway on the dragon stuff. Okay, we got to move on.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next?
Do you want to, I guess, just quickly get through Kaiju number 8 and Mushoku Tensei? We had a couple kind of not crazy finales.
Yeah, that's true. Eh? We did have a couple finales. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Kaiju first, I suppose. I mean, I don't want to say it's not a nothing burger. We got a fun fight.
It was a nothing burger. The fight was good, but the second the fight was over, it was like, all right, we'll see you in a year. Like
that's basically I don't want to downplay it. I had fun. This was one of my favorite shows of the season. No doubt about that. But yeah, like the show, the finale in like a nutshell is they have a fight. Kafka comes to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
The general decides he won't kill him. He'll recruit him.
Mm.
And we'll see you in season 2.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much it?
See you when I see you.
100%. Oh, and they tease Kaiju number 9. That he's like hard at work and he's got the human bases mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're going to target maybe Kafka on the way afterwards.
The goal is now him, it sounds like.
Yeah. The voice effect and actor incredible. That doing number 9 is really fun.
I watched a clip today of the Hoshino versus Ten fight.
Hoshino. And, oh, yes.
And his line delivery too. Like the number 10, just kind of like the really guttural, almost like Bane on steroids. Like, you know, there's a lot of, like, more or less, like, oh, you thought this was, like, my final form? Which was, like, one of the biggest, like, all right, we're going to step this up a notch. That was a couple episodes ago. But again, to your point, I love the Kaiju VAs.
Okay, Mushoku?
Yeah, just kind of the way we thought it was going to end. It was just swept under the rug, dude. He's got 2 wives now.
Yeah, my boy's into polygamy. Fuck it. Or would it be polyamory? I don't know the difference. I bet one of the sick people listening to this podcast does.
Are they one and the same?
I don't know if they are the same or not. But he's taken another wife, as one does.
Another wife?
And, I mean, Grant, let's just call it how it is. Eris will come back and will be the third wife.
Yeah. Yay, dude.
Yeah, obviously.
100%. 100%. They teed her up at the end of the episode.
Yep.
Not the shot I would have expected her in, weirdly. Yep. I think that was my biggest, like, kind of oh shit moment of the episode. Probably the only oh shit moment of the episode was, I don't know why I expected her to be in, like, you know, in a more queenly, or like kind of like seeking that out. But I guess like she is like slowly trying to fight her way back to that, right? So
yeah, I'm really
kind of like an adventure-ish shot of her. I thought was interesting.
I liked that. I thought it was a cool shot. I did like ish Rudy speaking at Paul's grave. It kind of felt a bit like a self-actualizing moment for him, you know. But the rest of it is kind of shades gray for me. I'm kind of unsure about how I feel about this whole season. There are some highs, there are some lows. I will watch season 3.
Yeah.
But I don't, other than that, I don't have a ton to say. The Paul death scene, that was obviously like the best episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of build, a lot of time to get there. Yeah. I don't know. I had fun.
Yeah.
But like, I have...
He's got a baby girl.
He's got a baby girl.
He's a dad.
He's a dad. A couple wives. What do you want? What do you want from me? All right, what else?
Did you get a chance? I know I mentioned it to you. Did you get a chance to check out The Elusive Samurai?
I never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing. We watched it. We loved it.
Did you really?
As a team. Oh, I think.
Yeah, dude.
I think Sam is on board for the weekly watch with this one.
Fucking A, dude. CloverWorks is, like, crushing it these past, like, year or two. Like, they have some absolute, you can just tell it, like, because they had Windbreaker last season, they have this.
Oh, that was the, oh Sam, okay.
You know, they had, like, you know, they're working on Spy Family and Dressing,
you know,
Up,
I didn't,
like, this. Yeah.
I didn't keep up with Windbreaker, but, like, the thing that has in common with this is, like, very creative use of
fluidity.
Animation.
The fluidity
choreograph, camera work, you know, camera in air quotes, but, like, just perspective stuff.
Yeah.
Hella fun. This was fun because I pulled a Zero Dark Grant on this one. I didn't watch any. I just took the name, put it in Crunchyroll, hit play.
Boom.
And I can't recommend that enough if anyone listening is like, it's what incredible. Is it? Just hit pause, go watch it, come back to this, and then you can hear us talk about it. But it's great. It's a great one to go in blind to.
So a tip to you, David, and anyone listening, be very wary doing any research on this online.
Mm.
Because this is, again, I saw a tip earlier, like a month or two ago, when the first trailer came out. And so, like, the top comment was just, like, a disclaimer to all future viewers.
Oh.
And they said, like, there's clearly, like, some mystical elements to it.
Sure.
But the story and the characters, mythical stuff aside, is a one-for-one to actual historic events.
Oh, really?
So, like... You look up a history book, you're going to spoil yourself.
Okay.
And apparently, like, that's, like, a big fun part of the manga is, like, they stay true. Or, like, again, at least this is what this comment had said, that there's a lot of, like, sticking true to the history and then having fun with the writing and kind of, like, filling in stuff to make it, like, this additional world, like, a new world. But,
okay.
It does... So say out of some history textbooks in this period, I would say.
Okay, well, kind of adds like a really fun level of depth that I would not have guessed.
And the thing is, like, I can't exactly fact check that.
because then, like, you risk spoiling yourself.
Yeah, so even to, like, look it up a little further, like, hey, is this comment true?
I think I told you.
No one seemed to disregard it, so, but...
I think I told you that happened to me in Vinland Saga. There's like, I was like, how real is this? And then it was like, oh, X character was one of the people. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, okay, I guess it is.
There was, we went to that hobby store this past weekend, and we were in the manga section, and Leanna's like, don't look at Vinland Saga. I'm like, why? She's like, because, like, there's a cover right now, and I'm pretty sure it's major spoilers.
That's
she's
funny,
like,
eh?
She's like, just do not look in that direction. But, I did, and it was a spoiler for sure.
Oh, so, excellent. It's funny how hard it is sometimes. I had to like pull back your curiosity. You're like, yeah, but how big is it? Maybe I could forget.
It was like the time you and I were in a store. I can't remember what book it was. It might have been a Demon Slayer one. It was like an art book, and you and I were just like flipping through it.
Yeah.
And you and I both had like the same realization at the same moment of like, we should maybe not be looking in there. We just like slack closed and shut. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Lucifer's Hammer, awesome. Incredible. I love the...
colors.
The colors and...
character designs.
Also like how violent it got.
Shockingly violent.
Shockingly violent. Like real violent. Like the way like... they kind of didn't shy away from when the village is massacred. Like, they showed a lot of it. And, so this also, is 100%, like, the show of the season I'm watching week to week, so.
It's also, like, especially if you're not, like, you have, like, probably a broader range of taste of what you're into,
sure,
anime-wise. And when you're kind of narrow, I don't want to say I'm narrow-minded, but my taste can be a little narrow and I can be kind of picky. But that often means you're watching a lot of stuff in the same genre.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is a lot of anime can begin to feel derivative, right? And it's sometimes hard to get like excited about something new. And just only based off the pilot, it just felt like this was like a really big breath of fresh air. I was like, wow, what a, like a... it just seems really engaging. I'm really excited. Does it drop on the weekends?
I believe it might be Saturdays.
Cool. Yeah, I thought because I think I was telling you the other day, I was like, man, like I didn't realize everything kind of wrapped up, and I was here on a Saturday morning like, shit, what do I do?
I got nothing to watch. So the other thing too, that it's the same, the manga is the same as that Assassination Classroom, which is a huge fan favorite. It's the one where all the kids are trying to kill the alien there.
Yeah.
Or they have like a year to kill an alien or something like that. But so it's kind of similar vibe. They really like,
I watched the comedy.
The priest. I really like the priest character.
Same.
He did that really good. Like, the way he would, like, kind of... when he clearly sees into the future and you can see him mulling it over and it's like, oh, he's telling us very important information in a gag.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell what's the gag and what's not. I think... the two sides to that character, I think, is just fascinating. And I wonder, like, if his friends... if his brother... did they say his brother got killed?
They did not confirm or deny.
And then there's also the other
girl. I kind of like that. It gives you uncertainty the way the protagonist would have uncertainty.
And there was also the girl. There's like the line of like, oh, she's betrothed to him. And he's like, oh, I didn't have a say in that.
Yeah.
And there's like a really... there was a scene too that I loved where like the teachers are chasing him around. And they finally corner him on the roof with the brother. And the way he like tucks his hair in because he knows he's about to make a big jump.
Yeah.
But like you don't even know that. Like, oh, he's about to like do something here. And then he does that huge jump and... the way like he hits and the air comes out of him when he hits his chest, but like kind of like the exhale and kind of catches his form. I was like, wow, this is very, 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 very smooth. Yeah.
Windbreaker-esque. Now that you've mentioned
big time.
It, right?
I recently picked that back up because now the season's over. I want to watch through it. I watched a couple this morning, and it's like a big fighting part. These past two episodes I watched and. Same thing. Like
maybe I'll tune back in now that we got.
Did you watch the pilot?
Just the pilot, yeah.
There's a character. There's a dude with an eye patch. I don't know if you remember him, but he had a fight, and they're doing like dancer defense fighting with him that I feel like I've never seen, at least not this well done. And I was just kind of like, whoa, like the show's got the juice. The studio's got the juice.
So. Give me the juice.
Yeah.
Did you or did you not get caught up on The Boys?
Oh yeah, dude, I'm caught up. After your scolding there, I was like, I immediately went and watched more of that. But so I am caught up to the most recent one.
Season 4, episode 6, I believe.
The Boys is back. The Boys is back.
What do you make of season 4?
It was a bit of a slog, the first 3-4 episodes, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
This is gonna sound strange because I feel like that's weirdly kind of the strength of the show is like the infighting was beyond grating, more so than it normally is.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, hey, like this is something like we gotta get earn this moment a little bit. Like we need to see a couple things go wrong for the infighting. And it was like right off the bat, like you know, if I have to hear like Starlight again, be like Butcher, it's like we know you don't like him. We all get it. Like we understand Butcher's bad.
But I feel like they're really mishandling her whole character this season, to be honest, but keep going.
Yeah, and like Huey too, and like I will say I don't love Huey, but the way everything played out with his dad, which was crazy.
Oh my god.
And the mom coming back and like is she like is there something bigger or like kind of, you know, malevolent going on with her? Whereas it was not, it was just like a, it was kind of like unboys-like, which I like. They really pulled that off of like the sincerity of like, she was like, I was mentally ill. I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't do it. Like I walked away. It sucks. And I don't know. I thought it was done gracefully and with taste. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know. But this most recent episode, that reveal, we're spoilers. Anyone listening for The Boys, can we talk about what happens this episode?
Yeah, absolutely. And also just to touch on that episode you just talked about. I got to give it up for Simon Pegg. That was a great performance.
What a real one.
As a guest star.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, what do you want to talk about specifically?
Well, like the reveal with Butcher and like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like they 100% got me, dude. They completely baited us with him seeing Becca in his head the whole time.
Yeah.
And I believed he was like the CIA dude he, you know, his old buddy he was running into at the office, because like they set it up perfectly where it made sense, where he met him, kind of rekindled with him and all these spots. It was just, I was like, wow, yeah, Butcher is fucked.
I only caught it at the end of episode 5 because I saw some reactor catch it. It's a blink and you'll miss it moment. They show it in the reveal at the end of episode 6.
Okay.
But it's at the end of episode 5 when, you know, after the whole the crazy sheep thing happened.
Yeah.
So Butcher steals the scientist, you know, cuts off his leg and, you know, and then we see him at the end of episode 5 and he's telling the scientist, don't worry, we'll patch you up. And then he looks over his shoulder at the CIA guy. And then the doctor goes, he looks behind Butcher like, what? And it's just, that's it. That's the whole moment. And that was enough that some people picked up on it and they were like, boom, proof he's not real. And I was like, fuck. I was like, I hadn't even considered that. And then, there you go. Episode 6.
I'll be honest. When I'm watching The Boys, it's very like, because the show is so surface level.
No,
it's
I'm
very
with you.
Like
I'm
it's very you. In your face. It's kind of like, it's not, by no means is it like, you know, phone in hand watching. With some of them, I'll be honest, some of them. But
those first couple episodes, I think like
dragging.
I put it in that TikTok I put out, dude. I was like, dude, like I'm like borderline fast forwarding through some of these scenes, like some of the Frenchy stuff, his romance arc with the guy whose parents he killed.
Oh yeah,
and the Kimiko stuff. And I get it, like you want to give these characters arcs, but like it has to serve the story and it has to serve the character. And sometimes that just wasn't really hitting the mark for me.
No.
So yeah, I'm on the same page as you. I'm not really sitting there, you know, with the magnifying glass a lot of the time on the boys.
Yeah.
Anthony Starr. Incredible. Annihilating it. In particular, that scene.
Him?
Oh my God. Visiting the facility in which he was held. That's why I yelled at you last episode. Oh. I was like, oh my God, dude. I just loved that whole storyline so much. And I was like, that, I don't know if it's a must-see TV, but it was like my favorite up to that point in the season.
He is by far like the stand-up performance every week. Like he's on the screen, you're like, here we go, like I'm in. And then this most recent episode too, where he kind of,
what is he doing?
The buzzwords don't work in the room with the one percenters.
Yeah.
And like he's fucking crying, like he's borderline crying until is it Vicky? She kind of steps Newman. Up because or Newman. Oh my God, when fucking Sage gets shot in the head and she's like eating the cake and like nodding her head, like
so good.
And like comedy. It makes so sense because they set it up like her bringing fucking Deep to the room and getting him to do the lobotomy, which was a very hard watch for me. The ice
that
freaks
was,
me the fuck out.
They oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they push the boundary every now and then. But and then this episode with Huey, good God. Like
have you seen any of the, I'm hesitant to use the word outrage, but have you seen some of the controversy about that?
No.
So, and I'm teeing this up for you, your interpretation, and for the audience. I'm not going to come out here with a hot take. But there was a sexual assault, like, storyline early, right? I think between Starlight and the Deep. Remember that, when she joined the Seven?
Yeah.
And that all happened. And then there's effectively, like, it's a different kind. I mean, what Huey went through between Tech Knight and also when Ashley came out of that elevator and he's in the sex dungeon, I fucking did a spit take out of my drink. I was like, yes, like, let's go.
Ashley's about to go unhinged here.
And then I think it was the showrunner was doing an interview with, like, I don't know if it was Vanity Fair or so. It was a legitimate article, you know, air quote, legitimate journalist, and was like, oh, you know, did you feel bad for Huey? You know, you just killed his dad, and now you have him sexually assaulted, and, like, that was pretty fucked up. And he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. We thought it was hilarious. And people are like, wait, so it's funny when it happens to a guy and not so much with the aunt? And anyway, so, of course, has taken a life of its own.
I'm sure it has. I guess context is everything, right? But, like, the whole thing is Huey was, like, undercover. And, like, yes, 100% got in a situation where, like, he would never have gone into himself.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, like, yeah, I see both sides there, but...
That was quite the scene, though. The web weaver stuff was gross. they find a line every fucking season, and I really thought the eye lobotomy thing was going to be the worst of it. I don't know why. It's kind of like what we're talking about with dragons in House of the Dragon. Like, they're sometimes something
the gore.
But yeah, it's just sometimes something you know is so clearly fake, e.g., CGI dragons.
Yeah.
Can still get this emotional response from you. And even though the web dimple in his lower back is so clearly fake, it was so gross.
Incredible.
Poor Mother's Milk guy had to get in there. And it fucking queefed on him.
Not the peril in the fucking world.
That was gross. I wrote, every now and then, though, they do hit you with a banger. I have one great quote. This is, you were alluding to the scene earlier, when Homelander's buzzwords aren't working on the one percenters.
Yeah.
And then Newman takes control. She goes on this great little monologue, and one of the lines she gives is, anybody who owns a live, laugh, love mug doesn't deserve a say in how our country is run. I thought that was pretty good.
I think my favorite line delivery in the episode was when they're in the dungeon and they're trying to figure out, like, what they're going to do with him. And they're, like, you know, like, they're stabbing him and he's, like, getting off on it.
Yeah.
And the previous sidekick breaks out and bolts.
Oh, yes, and yes,
it
yes.
was Techner's delivery of, like, Ladio, get help, boy. And, like, I had to rewind what he did when he went to the computer because I was laughing so hard. It was just incredible, incredible delivery on that guy's
part. Oh, dude. Also, like... when they start... That guy was good. When they start donating to super PACs, you know, like to political opponents and whatnot.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. 100,000 to Elizabeth Warren.
100 million or something.
Or 100 million, sorry.
No, what it was is they go, 100 million to Black Lives Matter. And then Tech Knight goes, no, not those people. No. That was good.
Fuck.
I have another quote. This one's from episode 5. And this one had several quotes. I think I have a collage saved, but it's Frenchie's quote. This man is in no condition to fuck a sheep.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say, too, the one of the things I loved was the fake out of Newman's head pop or self head pop.
Yeah, that was good.
I think a trap they fell into with her is, like, it was better when no one knew who was doing that.
Yes.
And then for, like, yeah, once it's revealed, like, every moment you're like, okay, like, who's going to get it? Like, it's because you can feel like you're in the scene. You don't know who, but you imagine someone's going to get it. So to kind of, like, take it back to a point of, like, unexpected, like, you would never expect her head to go like that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very well timed.
Good point.
Like, you know, it's been a while since there's been that act to catch me off guard.
Oh, but. Dude. Like, and also, they made a satire trailer about... making training A-Train with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, honestly that was like a guest performance that, like, threw me off. I thought that was too much personally.
I just thought, I was like, and because that's the same episode that they do the V23 expo.
Where they show
and they show you the, like, MCU chart of all their interconnected movies. I was like, oh my god, these guys don't know.
17 new chapters. Or 72 new chapters in the Vought universe. There's one other thing, too, that I thought was really fucking choice. Oh, the guy that's, like, playing Noir.
It's the same guy. Like,
and he's like, I don't get it. He's like, get it. But, like, when fucking, the most recent episode
of Deep. Oh, did you know some people laugh at me?
Yeah. He's like, yeah. And then, but then, like, the delivery of, like, yeah, dude, like, He went to like fucking Panama or wherever he goes.
He canceled Tuesdays.
He canceled. He was hard for like a month. He's like, I get it. He's like, I think I get it. And I'm like, oh, what is going on with the Deep right now? He's the one too. I don't really understand what they're doing with him right now.
Yeah, he's a little all over the place.
And so I'm curious. Are you saying it's the same actor playing Noir?
Yes.
Oh, you think he's a clone?
No, I mean like the Noir that Homelander killed, the guy who had no lines through seasons 1 through 3.
They just kept him.
They kept him, and now he has lines.
That's awesome.
I know. I agree, and it's you particularly appreciate it now because his performance back then, though wordless, was quite stoic and intimidating, and now he's like this kind of theater kid. I don't understand the role, you know, and it's like completely different.
I accepted an offer at Cirque du Vaud.
Yeah, Cirque du Vaud. I forgot about that.
I can fly.
Pretty good.
So good. I love that.
Okay.
Did you check any out of The Bear? Did I get that?
Oh, actually, no.
No? I watched Pilot.
And?
Didn't love it.
Oh, really?
To be honest, yeah. I was talking to Devin. He's watched it. He really likes the show. And he's like, it's good, but like, I think in his opinion was like, they're really reaching for like the artsy high moments of like season 2. They're kind of like doing like maybe a full season of that.
Okay.
I did like it big picture of the episode, but Carmy's my least favorite character by a long mile, and it was a very Carmy focused opener. And I don't know. You'll see for yourself.
I intend to watch it.
Yeah.
I still don't know if I love the decision that they dropped all 8 episodes, but whatever.
I just like
Exhibit A, like Hot D on the air on Sundays. It's just,
love it.
It's so funny. I get it. Like everything is cyclical. You know, back in the day, people hated appointment viewing because everything was on at a certain time. But it's nice to have like one show that everyone just watches.
There's nothing like, see some Severance season 2 teasers dropped today.
Yeah, I'm seeing a little bit of news, right? Yeah. Still no dates yet.
No, doing Morse code trailers, teasers. Cool. So I'm sure we'll have some answers tomorrow.
Yeah, so maybe let's talk to you a little bit of news then. Mm. Gladiator 2 trailer dropped today. Did you catch that?
Fuck no, dude. Fuck, blind. No, dude. That is the most. That's double zero dark red.
good for you, because they do show you most of the plot in it. So
of course, yeah, it's a Ridley Scott movie. All his trailers get that.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where this goes, but it does look very good. I won't say much more than that. I'll be honest. I wasn't particularly excited about the sequel. Like, I really don't know if we need one. Having seen the trailer, I still don't know if we need one.
Oh,
but it looks fun as hell.
Yeah, that's all I'm in for. I am ready for some big, loud performances.
Yeah.
I thought they chose... I did see a poster. A very interesting choice of a poster. It's like cut up into 6 panels of 6 characters. I've seen it, yeah. And there's like just 3 people that are like completely deranged. I have no idea. You cannot tell who they are.
Are you aware of the main cast?
Yeah, it's...
Pedro and another guy. And Pedro, Denzel,
and then...
Denzel looks good.
What's that? He's that Irish piece of arse that everyone loves in the fucking... Yeah. Paul Mescal?
Yeah.
So
but Denzel looks good. And, like, sounds good in the trailers. I'm excited. Oh, really? About it. Yeah, he looks good.
I would like to see that. I'd like the guys get together and go see Gladiator. I think that'd be
fun, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't news, but I wanted to ask you. I'm positive I know the answer here. I just need... You know, I'm getting the old man brain. Did you see the Alex Garland Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't see it. I had to back out last second, I think, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so I think it's out on Blu-ray and digital. So I think I'm going to try and queue that up if I can find the time this weekend, and maybe we can talk about it next pod.
100%. There's still stuff I want to talk about. I wasn't going to talk about it until you had seen it. So.
Yeah, because you're a G, dude.
Yeah, dude.
My boy Sam Morril. Sam Morril has a new special on Prime. I'm going to try and watch that tonight. It's called You've Changed. Comedy stand-up special. Not a ton of more news. Mushoku Tensei, the rumor, according to reliable leakers, whatever that means, season 3 not premiering until 2026.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's June 24, so you would think that'd be enough time to even get like a late 25 release date, but who knows?
Well, because that's the other thing too, it's broadcast, right? So I wonder if like everything's just, because there's a lot of stuff coming out next year.
Yeah.
Could be just locked up.
Could be. Blue Lock season 2 coming back on the air in October.
Yes, sir.
It gives people time to, you know, potentially go see that movie.
Yeah, that's out,
right? I believe so. I think Vivian said it was.
I wonder if it's too late.
I don't know. It's kind of to your point, though, like the way we opened the pod, we were talking about like anime movies take many shapes and forms, right? And like that is one of the... I'm not going to knock it until I've seen it, because you know I really enjoyed Blue Lock season 1. Yep. But like I don't know if I'm dying to see it again from a different character's perspective.
Yeah, that's like, fair.
Because that's... You know what I mean? But who knows? Maybe it'll enhance the season 2 experience, or maybe really change your understanding of season 1. I don't know.
I'd say.
Anything else on your end?
Yeah, a couple things. Or three things. Yeah, a couple things. The Oshinoko season 2 premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, I still beg of you, if I have to get on my hands and knees and pray, I think one of the biggest misses, or one of the biggest things you're missing is this show, legitimately. I think it's incredibly up your alley. I know it's a little hard to watch. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has a fucking High Dive subscription. The season opener was so strong. They did this whole, so I guess small, minor spoilers. The whole premise of this second season is, based around the behind the scenes and the performance of a 2.5D theater performance, like a manga adaptation which is popular in Japan.
Okay.
And I've never, like, I know they're popular, but I don't really know what they are. And the whole opener of this season was a viewer's view, like almost like you're in the crowd watching the opening performance of this stage play. And like it shows like the screen, like how the screens work and how like they introduce the characters or the story. Like it was one of the coolest things I've seen in anime in like ever. Like, and it's, I know it's like a little, like it's one of my favorite shows now, and like, mm-hmm. I was super looking forward to it. I'm not trying to sound hyperbolic by any means, but I was like kind of like jaw dropped of like very creative, and then like just the creativity with the show is incredible. Anyone who hasn't seen Oshinoko, you should be watching it. I think it's like, it sucks that it's on a streaming service that like not a lot of people use. It's the only reason I subscribe to it is just for this, because I know it's on there. I don't know, it was just really, really good. I was, you know, I loved the first season so much. I was kind of, you know, you never know what you're going to get into a second season, but it's there. I'm like, boom, the show hasn't changed. Okay. So that was awesome. But, and then I had some holidays last week, and I watched the entirety of Delicious in Dungeon.
Oh, right. Yeah, you mentioned that. I think I told you, I was like one or two in, and we really, really enjoyed it.
Do you know what the studio's last project was before this, Dave?
No.
Edgerunners.
Really?
And
wow, it looks nothing like that. I'm just thinking art style, obviously.
Art style, like that's the thing. When it, like, the art style is like, you know, the manga and like that. But when there was a couple like blew me away action set pieces, and I was like, oh, that's fucking Trigger. Like Trigger's doing their thing right now. And all I can think of was like some shots of like David. Like I don't think there's any homage shots or anything like that, but just like their kind of flashy animation style. When it comes to action, it's just so them. It's like signature. You know, it just blew me. I knew it was them. And then like one of these big moments would like kind of come up, and I was like, holy cow. Like, you know, when you have like such a unique like thumbprint of your style to see kind of like from show to show. And I know it's like not always the same directors and different staff, but like a lot of the stuff still blends through.
Yeah.
And there's just something about it, you know, I was just like, fuck, like awesome.
I had absolutely no idea.
It's incredible.
But it's on Netflix. Eh? And I think we had so some really fun.
There's I think there's a...
Episodes?
24.
Fuck, you blitzed through that, eh?
I had like a week off, dude.
Yeah, no, I know. Not...
Just hanging out and playing Elden Ring. I guess, you know, literally, I watched Delicious in Dungeon and caught up on the boys and played Shadow of the Erdtree. Beat Shadow of the Erdtree.
So. Hell yeah. I think I told you I rolled credits on Phantom Liberty, and I just felt like this major, like, sigh. I mean, it also, the ending that I got also broke my fucking heart into pieces, but
not the one you were hoping, or like, is it like, was it like, shoot, I shouldn't have made that choice earlier, or was like your choice played out in a certain way you didn't expect?
Good question.
Because that's the problem with RPGs sometimes.
I don't know if I would change it. I would just say bittersweet.
Fuck yeah, dude, you're a role player at heart. I love that.
Yeah, I would just say bittersweet, Ed. But I like, you know, we've talked about this a million times, but it's like, it was so satisfying for me to finally get a gaming PC, and for that to be the game that I really put time into was just, like, perfect. Like, that's a game I'll play. I'm not big on replay value, especially for RPGs, but that is a game I will do several runs of, like, without a doubt in my mind. I fucking love that game.
That's awesome. It's my next, right now that I'm done Elden Ring, well, I'm not done, I'm still, like, bopping around playing, doing odd stuff now, but I want to go back and finish Final Fantasy 16, which I started, shout out to Bronson, and, for lending me that, and, but yeah, I think after that, my next game is probably Cyberpunk. I'd like get in, just really get into that, but sorry, I do just want to talk about Delicious Intention just a little bit longer. Incredible world building. Like, the reason I'm glad you guys started watching it, and I hope you guys do continue, is this is the perfect middle ground between Frieren and Mushoku Tensei.
Oh, yes, that's what you said to me the other day.
And what I mean by that is, like, there's the world, like, on the Frieren side, and I guess where it kind of blends and meets in the middle between the two is, like, the world is taken very seriously. It's, like, it doesn't have the isekai stuff. It's just a fantasy story, fantasy characters, you know, typical tropes, but the way, like, you know, it's just like as a matter of fact, it's just like a way of life. I really dug that. And then also too, it's nice to see a fantasy story where the group is not exactly like, they're not like green, like they're not fresh, like they're experienced adventurers. Like, they assess situations based on their experience, and they kind of, you know, work through it as, like, they can. There is going to be things that, you know, catch them up they haven't seen before, but, like, they are very competent, which it felt very refreshing by the end of it. Like, oh, it makes sense that they did this because, like, they do the research and they made a plan and they stick to the plan. And even though, like, because, like, the series starts off with, like, a huge disaster, and you would think, like, oh, like, maybe they're, like, bumbling idiots, and, like, they walked into a fight with a, you know, because the show opens up with a fight with the dragon.
Yeah.
And they lost. And, like, the show is not that. Like, it's, they are very competent, and the, you know, they were in that situation for a reason. I know I say this a lot, but, like, I got to the end of it, and it just, the story was, like, so serious, and there was moments of, like,
really?
Yeah, it's, like, you know, and, like, the characters are having, and there's, like, some animism stuff and this and that, and, you know, like, they kind of have fun or whatever, but, like, when characters are, like, having, like, a disagreement, there's a point where two characters are having a disagreement over something that happens, and it's, like, they're, like, very, like, staunchly, like, they are sticking to their points. And it was, like, oh, like, this, it felt like a real argument between people. Like, they're not just going to start slugging each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes they can kind of go that way. I was just, you know, and there is going to be a second season.
Okay.
Coming, I'm not sure when, but, like, I'm in. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I had watched the episode. I think it was all that shit was going on with my eye right as it came out. I couldn't focus on it, and I couldn't get into it. But, like, week after week after week, I was, like, reading online, like, how fucking amazing this show was. And I'm like, God, like, I'm fucking, like, what did I miss in those first two episodes? And I went back. Just had to keep watching. And, yeah, it Dave, very, like, it is definitely more freer than it is Mushoku Tensei.
Okay.
And, like, the dishes, like, the way they make the food and, like, the creativity they, like, get to, like, you know, it doesn't feel like they're stretching to, like, make these meals. Like, they find some real world comparisons, and, like, if it just feels like a very well, like, researched show.
Yeah.
And the manga, I don't know, it's just I was blown away by it. I also very highly recommend Delicious Intention. It's on Netflix. Okay. Everyone has Netflix. Everyone can check this
I'll out. Hit it up, dude. All right. Jeez. Get off my case. There's higher likelihood of me hating that than Oshinoko.
Hating that?
No, hitting
or
it.
Or watching that. Oh, hitting it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll hate watch Oshinoko. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Good luck.
I'll give them a shot at some point. Does that about do it, my friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
What an action-packed week.
Man, we had a lot of stuff.
This is what happens when you take these bye weeks. Everything, there's a lot of meat left on the bone.
I'm enjoying
when we get
it.
Back in. Me too. Okay, I think that's about it. High note on Delicious in Dungeon. Maybe I'll try and watch a couple episodes by the time we're back for episode 127. We'll see about that. But otherwise, okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Follow the podcast if you want to hear the next one on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. And please support the show. Follow us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, I think, Part-Time Otaku Podcast. Just look it up, okay? I'm not going to do everything for you. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.